Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, biblical archaeologist Clayton Van Hus will help us stay biblically grounded. Friends, just as David declared to Goliath, we shout back at the forces of evil, "The battle is the Lord's." Our current financial struggles is in God's hands. He will give us the victory. He alone will be glorified. Would you sling a rock at the head of this Goliath today? How? Just as God worked through David to accomplish a miraculous victory and destroy the mighty giant, would you prayerfully consider what you can give today to sustain Southwest Radio Ministries at this critical moment? This spiritual and financial giant threatens to undo this ministry, but God is greater. Could God have defeated Goliath without David? Well, yes, most certainly. But God often chooses to do amazing work through people who trust God. What eternal impact could you make today by partnering with Southwest Radio Ministries, dear friend? Please join us in prayer. Please stand with us at this critical moment in our ministry's history. Your one-time and monthly recurring gifts will enable us to continue slinging stones at the spiritual forces of evil. Call 1-800-652-1144 with your gift today. 1-800-652-1144 or give online, swrc.com. Friends, God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Thank you for standing with us as a faithful army of watchmen on the wall. We can't wait to tell you how God is glorified through this victory He is about to win for Southwest Radio Church. I want to start today's program by saying thank you, my friends. Thank you for your financial support of Southwest Radio Ministries, Watchmen on the Wall, and all of the ministry that takes place each and every day here, whether it's on the radio, online, or through our publications. We are able to do what we do, which is proclaim that God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things because of your prayers and your financial support. We need you right now, my friends. Please consider giving a gift today. Visit swrc.com or call 1-800-652-1144. We are so excited today to be talking about our Prophecy in the News television program. We have taken a huge step of faith over the last 2+ years as we have been preparing for the launch of this wonderful television program. For the last 2 years, we have been raising donations to build a television studio, equip that studio with cameras, lights, microphones, to build sets, and to prepare for today. For the last, I'd say, about month and a half, we have been each and every week premiering, debuting a brand new episode of Prophecy in the News, from our Headlines from the End Times segment, our Bible prophecy teaching segment, from our rotational segment, which just means different things each week, whether it's Artifacts That Illuminate, Marginal Mysteries, Moment of Prophecy, Pastor Larry Answering Your Bible Questions, to our interview segment. What's that about? Well, that's where we take a newsmaker and we ask them the important questions of the day that Christians need to hear the answers to. And of course, we also get our classic clip where the Prophecy in the News founder, J.R. Church, comes to the airwaves once again to share encouragement and truth from God's Word. You put all that together, and what do you have? You have Prophecy in the News television. We are so excited to have it available on 4 different Christian television networks, which includes DirecTV, Dish Network, as well as YouTube and Rumble, and of course, our SWRC mobile app. It is there with new episodes debuting each Sunday morning. Prophecy in the News has been something that the staff has been working on diligently now for a little over 2 years. And to be able to be here today to say that it is now here, it is now a reality, it is taking place, is just a huge blessing. And it's been made possible by many of you. You have told us that you're praying for us and for the new television effort and outreach. Many of you have been giving and donating so that Prophecy in the News episodes can continue to be produced each and every week. And that's why I wanted to start today's program by saying thank you. Please continue to pray for us. And as you're led, please continue to give. Now, if you have not checked out the brand new Prophecy in the News television program, I've got a question. What are you waiting on? We're here each and every week. You can catch all the past episodes, as well as the current episode, on our website. It's super easy to do. Just go to swrc.com and click on the really big Prophecy in the News banner that's at the top of the homepage. Yesterday, we spoke with Micah Van Hus, who does one of the segments in the Prophecy in the News program. Today, we're going to visit with Josh Davis. Of course, you know him as the Southwest Radio Ministry staff evangelist, as well as frequent speaker here on Watchmen on the Wall. He is also a very important part of the Prophecy in the News television program, as he is the primary Bible teacher on the television program each week. Josh, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew. Wonderful to be with you again.
All right, talk to us about your segment. Now, every once in a while, we'll let Dr. Spargimino slip in there and give you a little bit of a break. And of course, from time to time, Larry Stamm will stop by. But the primary Bible teaching duties go to you, and that's the second segment as part of the weekly program. Talk to us about that segment.
Yeah, just take it from the very beginning. In episode number one, we just look at God's Word and understand what God's Word has to say for us. And I find that so very crucial because so many people are giving their opinion, especially in Bible prophecy. I mean, is there an area of doctrine that includes any more of people's opinions? Now, I know that people who study archaeology like Clayton Van Hus will say, if you've got two archaeologists, you've got three opinions. And the same thing applies to Bible prophecy, often it seems. And so I wanted it to be as biblically based as possible, to walk through what does God's Word say? What is Bible prophecy anyway? And how does God use it to reveal Himself to us and show us His character, His nature, His future that He has prepared for us through Bible prophecy? And so we just start by looking at that. And in some of our more recent episodes, I've been walking through some of the first prophecies in the book of Genesis, starting with the very first prophecy in Scripture. And just studying that has opened my eyes to a depth of truth that I didn't realize was even there in the Scripture. So that's what excites me about the teaching segment on Prophecy in the News TV, is that every week we get to give great information to people that helps them to understand who God is in a greater way, the world that He has created, His relationship with people, which includes His promises for the future as we study Bible prophecy together.
All right, I got to know this. How is filming for television for you different from recording for radio, for a podcast, the audio side? How has that been different for you?
It is a different dimension. There is a lot of parallels. There's a lot of crossover, but it is a new element. It's a different dimension that you really have to think about how you look, how you're presenting yourself visually, as much as you do vocally, and try to bring the same vocal level that I do with the radio to the teaching side, but there is a difference in that. So it has been a unique challenge getting used to being behind the camera, or excuse me, in front of the camera, instead of just behind the microphone when we do that for Watchmen on the Wall Radio.
All right, my next question is this. You have probably gotten asked by folks, because you're praying with people on the phones all day, answering emails and letters that we get. You've probably had folks ask, why are you doing a television program? We've got tons of Christian TV programs out there. We don't need another one. Why are we even doing a Prophecy in the News television program?
Mm-hmm. Well, number one, we feel like God had called us to doing that, and that we sense that He was leading us in that direction. That's where any step of faith, any ministry must begin, whether that's through the local church or a ministry such as Southwest Radio Ministries. And so we felt that call of God leading us in that direction. He has given us the equipment, the people to make this effort go forward. And it's something that we need to bring clarity. There is so much chaos. And that's one of the phrases we've used over the years here at SWRC, bringing clarity to the chaos. Even in the Bible prophecy world, I hate to say it, but there's a lot of chaotic teaching out there that needs to be corrected, that needs to be addressed. We may not do that frontally here on the radio program or frontally on the television program, but I believe that through the accurate teaching of God's Word, we're going to equip people with the ability to discern right from wrong, especially in the area of Bible prophecy, but in all of Scripture. And so that's one of the key reasons we wanted to do this. And we also wanted to let it be a tool that can equip the church. You know, we see ourselves as a ministry that's coming alongside the local church to help pastors. I know that our ministry has a significant impact on many pastors as they hear us teaching God's Word or bringing something to light that they had not heard of, whether that's headlines from the end times, those kinds of things. And it's equipping them with the information that they need to take to their congregations. Our Prophetic Observer newsletter that we produce, for instance, we've heard from several pastors who say they get extra copies to set out for their church so that their people would understand this kind of information. And so I know the television show can be a great asset to local churches to build up the body of Christ and to equip the saints so that they can do the work of ministry to open people's eyes to what's happening in our world today.
It's kind of a double-edged sword, Josh, when you think about the finances of a television program. And what I mean by that is the expense is large. However, it's not as large as it was several years ago. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is equipment costs and ability to distribute your television program. Because before the internet or before YouTube or Rumble or your website, you were very limited in how you could distribute and put out your television program. Producing the television program used to be extremely expensive with cameras and lighting and equipment. Now it's just very expensive to put it together. I think that that is also another way that we're able to see that we are heading in the right direction with this television program, because we've had several large donations specifically given to help build the television studio and to get it equipped and ready for Prophecy in the News TV. And to know that people are supporting it, supporting the television program, supporting our efforts, that is a real blessing.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very important to us. And so to know that we are reaching, for us, because we've been for 92 years, primarily a radio or audio-based ministry along with our books and publications, to now have a new audience that we are able to reach on television and online with a visual program is a big deal. It is a huge deal. And just like you said, to be out there in the Bible prophecy audience, the Bible prophecy space, is really important because we're seeing a lot of anti-Semitism.
Yes.
We're seeing a lot of replacement theology. We're seeing a lot of junk theology,
right,
false teaching in the Bible prophecy space. And we are called to proclaim the truth, whether it's behind the microphone, in front of the camera, at a church, at a conference, in a book, magazine, or newsletter. We must proclaim the truth.
Yes, absolutely. And I love the fact that our ministry tries, and we really strive for not just throwing junk at junk, but the best quality that we can. Like you said, whether that's the magazine, whether that's preaching a sermon in a local church, whether that's producing a new book or resource, we want to do it with quality, with a sense of excellence, because we're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He deserves our very best. And so while our funds are limited, our budget is limited, we want to take those resources that God has put into our hands and do the very best that we can with what we have. And that's what Prophecy in the News television show is. That's why I'm so excited to be a part of it, is because I believe God is doing something great through this ministry. Yes, we've been transparent about the challenges that we've faced recently, but I know that God is setting up this ministry to continue sounding forth His Word, whether that's through the means of radio, television, video, online, as the world is definitely moving online, that we can be there with the truth of God's Word in a spirit of excellence with the highest level of quality in our content and how we present that content to our audiences.
Well, we have a special treat today here on Watchmen on the Wall. We are going to listen in on the audio portion of one of your teaching segments, Josh, that's on the Prophecy in the News television program. You'll just have to imagine what Josh looks like. Just imagine him standing there on the Prophecy in the News set, teaching to you on TV. But we want to share this with you because we think it's a really good example and gives you kind of a behind-the-scenes peek of what a Prophecy in the News TV episode is all about. This is Bible prophecy teaching at its best on television on Prophecy in the News. Let's take a listen.
Friends, let me give you a quick quiz. When you think about Bible prophecy, what book of the Bible comes to mind first? No doubt a lot of you said the book of Revelation. You know, that would probably be my answer as well. It truly is key to understanding God's prophetic plan. But you know what? Some people are intimidated by this book of the Bible. The symbolism that it has and all the figures, it sometimes is just utterly confounding. Its description of a coming global destruction frightens people. But you know what? This does not have to be the case. And really, I think it's missing the whole point of the book. God didn't give us the book of Revelation to frighten us or to confuse us. He gave it to inform, and I could even go so far as to say he gave it to inspire. Friends, he wants us to know how he's going to keep all of his prophetic promises. He wants people to live with hope in him. And so that brings us to the point of what I'm sharing with you today. Please notice the first five words of the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. This book is not primarily the revelation of end times events. It's not primarily the revelation of the Great Tribulation. It's not primarily the revelation of the Antichrist and his satanic empire. No, no, no. It's primarily the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the hero of this book. He's the hero of all Scripture. So if we miss Jesus when we study Bible prophecy, and the book of Revelation in particular, we've missed the whole point. And as it says at the end of Revelation 19, verse 10, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The point of prophecy is to testify about Jesus. And so as you study Revelation, keep your mind fixed upon Jesus. See how God is advancing his plan for the ages in every single chapter. Understand how he defeats evil once and for all. Rejoice in how he brings in the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. We've got to bask in the beautiful truth. Those who have trusted in Jesus are going to get to be with him forever. Now listen to the words of Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The tabernacle of God is with men. What a powerful phrase that is. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle symbolized God's presence in the midst of his people. It stood as a visible reminder of God's abiding ministry to his people, that he was with them constantly. But when God makes all things new, we won't need a physical tabernacle any longer because we are with God forever. The powerful story of the book of Revelation culminates with this key fact: Jesus wins. He banishes death and sin and all of evil in the lake of fire forever. And once this happens, there's going to be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. Can you imagine a day when all these things are wiped away forever, forgotten from our vocabulary? I know, this sounds like a fairy tale to some of you, but guess what? It's not wishful thinking. No, no, no. It's the blessed hope that we have because of who God is. Has God ever broken a promise? Has he ever prophesied something that didn't come true? No, never, ever, ever. And so when Jesus came the first time, he fulfilled hundreds of Old Testament prophecies with pinpoint precision and accuracy. God didn't let one first coming prophecy fail. He fulfilled every last one exactly as he promised. And if God fulfills those promises with such pinpoint precision, don't you think he's going to be just as accurate in keeping his second coming prophecies? You know, God has a 100% perfect track record at keeping his promises. You can take it to the bank, dear friend. God's promises
in the book of Revelation are as good as done. He will not let one single one of them fail. He will fulfill them perfectly. So don't let the study of Revelation intimidate you. Don't let it frighten you. Keep looking to Jesus, the hero of Bible prophecy.
Prophecy in the News TV. It is on Dish Network each week, DirecTV, NRB TV, PTL TV Network, and others, as well as our mobile app and our website. Check it out today, swrc.com. And as you are led, please pray that the Prophecy in the News television program will reach more and more people each and every episode. Thank you, Josh, for being with us today. We appreciate it so very much, and we appreciate you being a part of the Prophecy in the News TV program.
Well, thank you, Matthew, and I just say to God be the glory, and we're excited to see what God is going to do, not for the glory of this ministry, but for the advancement of His name and of His gospel in these days that we live in.
Time to get biblically grounded with archaeologist Clayton Van Hus.
It has been said that the Exodus and conquest recorded in the Bible stand or fall together. So many evangelical scholars work hard to locate the Exodus and the conquest in ancient Near Eastern archaeology and written records. Now, there is not always agreement as to when these events happened. Good biblical scholars often argue about the date, and this is to be expected. The Bible does not give us dates. The Bible doesn't say, in this year, this happened. So what we do is we look for synchronisms. Synchronisms are historical events or people that line up with one another. Now, one interesting synchronism is between the books of Joshua and Judges and the Amarna letters. Now, many people have never heard of the Amarna letters. The Amarna letters are a collection of clay tablets that were found at the Egyptian site of Tell el Amarna in the 1800s. Now, this was an 18th dynasty Egyptian capital. It was known as Akhetaten. And of course, the man who founded it was Amenhotep IV, or Akhenaten. These tablets are correspondence from the kings of Mesopotamia and Canaanite city-states. They were all regions that were under Egyptian control. The letters were written to the pharaohs Amenhotep III and Akhenaten. The Amarna letters deal with matters of state, and they bring requests for aid or for wealth from Egypt. Interestingly, a number of these tablets mention a group of people known as the Habiru and request aid in the form of soldiers and weapons from the pharaoh because the Habiru are taking over their lands. Now, the Amarna letters date to the 14th century BC, somewhere around the year 1360. Some scholars have noticed a linguistic connection between the words Habiru and Hebrew and claim that the Habiru must be the biblical Hebrews during the conquest of Canaan. A number of scholars have raised objections to this claim. Some say that the Habiru are in Canaan far too early to be the Hebrews. Now, this objection presupposes a late date for the Exodus, and without further evidence, demonstrates circular reasoning. Another major objection to the claim that the Habiru are the Hebrews is that Habiru is a description of status, while Hebrew is an ethnic descriptor. Now, the Habiru, or sometimes Apiru, in the Egyptian and Akkadian languages means dusty or dirty, and it's often used of immigrants, mercenaries, slaves, and other outsiders. And while it's true that today we use the word Hebrew interchangeably with other names for the Israelites, this does not appear to have always been the case. The Israelites were descended from Eber, whose name means to cross over. That refers to his descendants, such as Abram, crossing over the river Euphrates and migrating into Canaan. The word Hebrew in Hebrew is Ibri and is used 34 times in the Old Testament. Each time, it appears to be used by the speaker as a status. In Genesis 14, when a coalition of Mesopotamian kings has kidnapped Lot, an escaped Sodomite goes to Abram the Hebrew, who was living as a migrant in the fields of a family of Amorites. He was an immigrant with his own private army. This fits the description of Habiru perfectly. In Genesis 39, Potiphar's wife refers disdainfully to Joseph as the Hebrew slave. In Exodus 2, Moses, still an Egyptian court official, witnesses a fight between two Hebrew slaves. a reference to their status. Even as late as 1 Samuel 14, we read about the Hebrews who were allied with the Philistines and that they switched sides to be with the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. So the use of the word Hebrew in the Old Testament certainly appears to be used as an indication of status rather than as an ethnic marker. Now, some people will object to the idea that the Habiru were the biblical Hebrews because they attacked cities that were outside of the promised land, that they went into Syria and Lebanon. Now, we read in Numbers 13, when Moses sent the 12 spies into the promised land, that they scouted all the way to the gates of Hamath. So they're going up into Syria and Lebanon, to almost to the Orontes River. Indeed, we read in Judges 3 that the Canaanites, Sidonians, and the Hivites at the gates of Hamath were left undefeated. They were supposed to have been defeated by the Israelites. When we superimpose maps of the lands that the 12 spies scouted with the biblical conquest of Canaan and all of the Amarna letters that mention the Habiru, we get a beautiful match. Interestingly, we find a number of harmonies between the biblical text and the Amarna letters that do not appear to be mere coincidence. In Joshua 24:32, we read that the bones of Joseph were buried in Shechem, in a parcel of ground that Jacob had purchased and was an inheritance of the children of Joseph. Now, the work that is currently being done in the fields of archaeology, epigraphy, and biblical studies is helping to illuminate the narrative that is presented in the Bible. The more that we uncover, the more harmonious we find the scriptures with the history of the ancient Near East. This is why we want to be biblically grounded.
Friends, Southwest Radio Ministries needs your prayers and financial partnership right now. The need is urgent. Your support is critical to sustaining Southwest Radio Church through some of the lowest months we've experienced in years. We have trimmed our budget, reduced expenses, delayed our monthly mailings, and cut radio stations. Any further cuts will significantly reduce the ministry that Southwest Radio carries out every day. That's why we are coming to you. You've partnered with us in prayer and ministry in the past, and we need our faithful friends to stand with us right now. Please give today. Call 1-800-652-1144 with your gift, or visit our website, swrc.com, and give. Friend, we need to hear from you today. 1-800-652-1144 or swrc.com/donate. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. To learn more, visit swrc.com.